Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson on a Friday edition. Heading into a big football weekend. Preds lose last night 6-3. They're back on the ice at St. Louis tomorrow night in what is turning into a monstrosity of a hockey game. Really slow weekend in the SEC, but it doesn't mean you cannot make money gambling on football. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports joining us here on the program, of course. Lee, how are you, sir? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, doing well. It's been a great couple-week run here since that Illinois game in the fourth quarter where they ended up that, you know, turn around a deficit into the biggest upset maybe the year over Michigan State. So,
are you trolling my co-host Derek Mason?
Come on, man!
Like, I feel like you're trolling
Lee.
Him, Lee. all right, let's talk about the biggest game of the weekend in college football, and that is Ohio State and Penn State. I have not seen anything from Penn State that tells me that they will be competitive in this game. And then I saw the point spread, and I said, "Holy smokes!" So, Ohio State, Penn State, go.
Okay, so here, when you look at the greatest teams in college football, and I'm talking about the teams at USC that just dominated, and Nebraska and Miami, they always had at least one tough game. Now, do I think Penn State's going to win the game? Maybe not. But to challenge Ohio State, you got to have weapons. And they got two guys on the outside, wide receivers K.J. Hamler and wide receiver Jonah Dotson. These two guys have combined for 11 touchdowns. They're averaging 17 and 18 yards of reception. And once you get in the red zone, you can't settle for field goals. And what does Penn State do? They throw the ball a lot to Pat Freiermuth. This guy in the red zone, 7 touchdown catches on the year. I think Penn State's going to disguise their coverages enough. And I don't know if you can hold down Justin Fields, but maybe keep him off balance, make him feel uncomfortable here. And how about this? Ohio State, 0-9 against the spread before the Michigan game. Make it 0-10. Ohio State wins 34-27, but this is going to be the game that goes right down to the wire.
Now, the next game on the docket, Georgia A&M. A&M is averaging around 30-some points the last four or five outings, but Georgia is getting 13.5. Are they just goading you into taking Georgia? Because I don't know. Will Georgia win by 13 points? I don't know. It's just because their offense hasn't been that explosive this year.
Well, good point. Now, so since September 14th, they've only scored more than 27 points in one game. So if you lay double-digit points with a non-score, it's one of the rules when you wager on games, you're going to get burned a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, A&M, it feels like, you know, they've been on a bye for a month, been very, very quiet. But in the second half last week against South Carolina, they turned it on. You're up by 6 points at half. They end up winning 30-6. If that game goes another quarter, they win that game 50-6. So putting things together, and what do the Aggies do different than a lot of other teams do, especially the two teams that Georgia beat, their best two competitors, Florida and Auburn? They get a lot of first downs, 3 to 4 more first downs than their opponents, 4 to 5 more minutes in time of possession. And remember, A&M hung real tight with Clemson on the road, only lost by 2 touchdowns here. So Jimbo Fisher, one of the best signal callers here, and I like Georgia to win the game 24-20, but I think Texas A&M, they might have a chance to even win this game outright, and I think that Auburn game took something out of Georgia, so it's tough to play 260-minute games here against top-flight competition, and I think A&M is going to give them a battle.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, joining us here talking college and pro football. Last one on the college front, Lee, and that's obviously Tennessee at Missouri. Tennessee winners of 4 straight. Missouri hasn't scored more than – they've scored 1 touchdown in 12 quarters. I think the wrong team's favorite here. Am I wrong on this?
No. I mean, a lot of people thought Missouri at one point is going to be 8-0, headed to the last 4 games of their schedule. Hasn't been the case. Tennessee, some people thought at one point they'd win only 1 of 2 games. Here's the problem for Missouri. Kelly Bryant is not himself. If you watched him last week, no explosiveness at all. He's playing with a lot of injuries. Give him credit. He's gotten it out, but this is the end of his college career. But Tennessee getting better and better. Their linebackers, they're making plays in space right now. And quarterback Jarrett Garitano, last three games, 5 touchdowns, just 1 interception. The wrong team is favored. Give me Tennessee outright, 27-24.
Now, I think the one of the bigger games this week, Baltimore Rams. Baltimore is a 2-point favorite against the Rams. But in the 3 or 4 losses, well, at least 3 of them, the Rams have given up a lot of points. With that defense, they've given up a lot of points. They gave up 55 to Tampa. Do you think that the 2 points is a little bit too low, or do you believe it's right on point?
No, I think Baltimore can win this game easy. Lamar Jackson, this guy just doesn't get nervous. He doesn't sweat anything. You can't game plan for him. I know Eric Weddle played with him last year, but knowing what formation and what they might be running, Baltimore's going to change things up here. And then on the offense, what are the Rams doing? Sean McVay, one of the best play callers early last year, not putting it together this year. You got to go with your horses, not running the ball, not 2 weeks ago, Connor Kupp doesn't even throw the ball to the guy. Just no targets at all. It doesn't make sense here. Baltimore, I think their defense, if they were able to keep rolling like they've been now, I think they'll get the job done. No win going away here, 37-24.
Lee, Tennessee, Jacksonville, 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, 3.5-point favorite, depending on where you look, for the Tennessee Titans here at home. They have owned this team, but Jacksonville handled them earlier in the year. How do you like this one shaking out?
So I like the over here. I think both teams are going to play a little more open in this game, but I think that probably Tennessee's the right side here. So I think that they're going to run the ball right down Jacksonville. So Jacksonville, bottom 3 in run defense. So Derrick Henry playing at a high level right now, and Jacksonville, you see what happens. Missing Ramsey, they're just not the same on defense. So sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it here. I'm going to take Tennessee. I think they roll to another win here, 28-20.
All right, Lee, if everybody wants to get involved and wants to make a little money with you this weekend, how do they do that?
Just call me here at the office, 800-400-9741. Give them the game of the week. How about this game? New England and Dallas. So you want to get that game for free, call 800-400-9741. And we rate our games from 10 to 50 units. 2 weeks ago, 50-unit play on Illinois. They went out right last week. Georgia, a 40-unit play. This week with a 45-unit double-digit destruction in college football. So you want to hop on board. Normally it's $197 for our big games. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you that game plus our other 4 biggest games in college football. Not for $197, just $97. All you need to do, go to ParamountSports.com. It's a instant download. So as soon as you purchase it, window pops open with all 5 games. You don't have to call back later today or tomorrow morning. ParamountSports.com. Call us here at the office, 800-400-9741. We're going to look to stay on this roll.
There you go. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Use those numbers. Make a little money this weekend. Thank you, Lee.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, listen, he likes the Titans laying the points, and he likes the Vols getting the points. I'm good with that. And he's the expert. I'm not the expert.
Yeah. So there you go.
On the gambling stuff.
Me either.
So,
I don't know, gambling from a jar of Vicks.
Gambling used to be a huge part of the show.
Yeah, it used to be.
Lee Sterling is now our gambling expert on the program. So make sure you call those numbers. He'll give you some wins. He'll give you some dubs. We will make picks. Coming up, the Pigskin Pick'em. We will still make picks. Derek, we've gone through, I think Marquise and myself are efforting now, checking your record from last week. So far, I think I've got 4 games. I think you were 3-1. There's a couple more games I got to get to. I did have a nice 4-2 weekend. That's back-to-back 4-2 weekends for me. So I'm starting to feel a little bit better about myself, but I'm sure to destroy and ruin all of that coming up at 9:30 as well. We'll have Crispy in a little bit, yes, in just a few minutes. However, the Nashville Predators last night, That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about all we need to say about what we're about to talk about when we come back. The Predators, what happened last night at Bridgestone Arena? We'll try to explain right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. I'm assuming this, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, I'm assuming, since I know what Marquise is about to do, that this music is somehow related to a wrestling ring.
It is. Street Profits.
Oh, yeah.
Two brothers.
The ring.
Tag team.
I swear.
But if you want to see the Street Profits at Bridgestone Arena, just be caller number 5-615-737-1025. A pair of tickets to see Monday Night Raw at Bridgestone Arena, Monday, December 2nd. Check out Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, AJ Styles, and the Street Profits, who you just heard right there.
Wait, so they're wrestlers and musicians?
No, they don't rap, but they come out to that song.
Oh, okay, that's their
theme song.
That's their walk-up song.
And then Ricky and Chase, you know, think I look like one of them. So.
Really?
Yeah. I think I look like
Derek,
one of them.
Is that true?
Well, he don't know.
I don't know who the Street Profits are. I really don't.
You and me both, man.
Yeah. I don't know the Street Profits.
But if you
want to
see
them, Vicks.
But if you want to see them, just be caller 5.
And they're way more entertaining.
737-1025.
They're way more entertaining than a Jar Vicks.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about them either, but I bet you they're way more entertaining than Nate Davis.
But there's more benefit to a Jar Vicks than there is to the Street Profits.
A good 2.5 hours of entertainment.
They're pretty good.
No, man, you put Vicks on your chest, man. It clears up everything. You know, Vicks, you can use Vicks for several different things.
I don't know where else you're putting that stuff.
And when you have a cold, you put it on your chest, clears everything up.
Put it on your upper lip. Underneath your nose.
Underneath your stash. You know, you can clear some things up.
That's true. I've had hair on my upper lip for like a good 5 years now. I wonder if it would work.
These are the important things we discuss on the show.
When
did I grow a mustache?
A long time ago. Man, you had a goat when you played, right?
Yeah, I had a goatee and had a beard from time to time. It had to be in high school when I grew a stash.
You could grow a mustache in high school?
This is a light one. Everybody grew. My son has a light mustache, like a very light.
But does
one.
It look like? Does he look stupid because he shouldn't grow it yet? Because it
no.
can't fully grow in. It's not bushy.
No, it's just a stash. It's a regular stash.
I couldn't grow a mustache until I was like 32.
Just a stash. But it's very, very light. If you edge it up, you could tell it's there. But if you don't, it's very light.
So doesn't that mean he probably shouldn't be growing it? Like, he should trim it?
No, he
cut
shouldn't.
It off.
No, because then it grows back. The saying is if you cut it off, it grows back thicker. I don't maybe.
That's
don't
what I'm
know.
Saying. He needs to train it. This is like training camp. He's a young pup here. Okay?
He don't need to put nothing on his skin. Because he just started now. He's 17 years old now. He's just now, for some reason, it might embarrass him. I don't know. I don't care because it's content. He's just now hitting that, you know, that sort of puberty stage where his face is breaking out just a little.
His voice is
He think he's a little tough now.
Oh, really?
You know, but he is, man. But he, I told him, I said, man, you growing some muscles. Like, I looked at him like, this dude's getting a little jacked. Like, okay, I see you.
You been in the weight room?
I see you.
Oink. Little DJ can't grow up, man. He can't grow up.
Goodness. Yes,
My buddy always says he gets so angry when people say they grow up so fast.
Uh-huh.
He's always like, no, they don't. They grow up at the exact same speed.
It just seems fast.
It takes 18 years for everyone to grow up for 18 years.
But
like,
it
why
seems
does everybody
fast.
Say that? Oh, they grow up so fast.
But it seems fast.
Everybody says that, and it's like, No, it's just your life has been incredibly busy during that time.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
And you hadn't been able to watch every
minute. Yeah, you don't get to chill.
Exactly.
Because you have a kid and you're a parent. It's
well, that's
stressful.
What I said. I have a niece that just turned 10 a couple days ago, and I'm just like, man, time went by fast.
No, it went by the exact same rate.
But it went by fast.
It went by the exact same.
It did.
Literally the exact same amount of time
went
by for everybody.
I was holding her as a baby just like
just
2 days
ago.
It wasn't 2 days ago. It was 10 years ago.
Just your minutes ago, it was 6 o'clock.
No, that's factually untrue. It took an hour and 19. It took 2 hours and 19 minutes to get here.
It felt like it was just 6 o'clock. Man.
It's funny because I always used to get angry at him for that. I'm like, stop being such an editor, because it's my boss at Athlon, and he's such an editor, right? He's like, actually, guys, it's the same amount of time. And I was like, that's so stupid. And now I hear people say, oh, they grow up so fast, and now I've turned into him. Now I'm like, no.
Yeah, but when you,
time
no,
goes by at the same speed
but,
every single day.
But when you, as your girls start to get older and
I know.
You're so busy with your day-to-day stuff.
I'll be looking back on it.
And then you look back, you're like, man, God, like, where did everything go?
So you're suggesting when my wife looks at me in a couple of years and is like, God, how did they become a six-year-old
exactly.
and a five-year-old?
Absolutely.
They grew up so fast, and I can look at her. I shouldn't just look at her and say, that's not true,
no,
honey.
Don't do that.
It's actually been literally the same amount of time.
I would advise you not to do that. just say, yeah, they do, babe.
Okay.
They do. Yeah, just say they do.
No, sure. Just get your hands on, just put your hands on your hips and be like, you know what? You're absolutely right.
You're so right about this. Amazing how right you are.
Fast.
God, time is different for our family than every other family.
I'm glad you pointed that out to us.
All right. It took, it felt like when the president on the power play yesterday, it felt like time was going by at an impossibly slow rate because Vancouver scored 5 power play goals last night. And listen, there were a bunch of deflections in the game. They lose 6-3 to the Vancouver Canucks. They've now lost 6 straight and 8 out of 9. It is one of the worst stretches of hockey I've seen from a Peter Laviolette coached Predators team since he got the job. And I think it's still so early in the season. What I felt like I was hearing from Twitter fans, just even my own evaluation of the game last night as I'm watching it and trying to. You know, I'm looking at, all right, what is the correct way to address this situation? And I think the two ends of extremes on this are there were a bunch of deflections last night. It was totally unlucky, so it's totally not a problem. We're going to be just fine. I think that's irrational. The idea that you took terrible penalties all night last night, that you played well in the first period, the second period was atrocious, and that you gave up 5 power play goals, like, I'm sorry, you shouldn't be on the penalty kill that much. You know, you've still lost the game. You still gave up another game where you've given up at least 5 goals, which is now 9 of them on the season out of 21 games. That's basically half. And so I'm sitting here going, you can't make excuses for this team playing poor hockey. They're not a good hockey team right now. So you don't get to just explain away a bunch of deflections and say, oh, they were just unlucky last night. I don't think that's responsible. I also think it's irresponsible to go the other end of the extreme, which is to say, oh, the coaching staff has lost the room. The coaching staff needs to be fired. Blah, 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 blah. The team's terrible. They're never going to be good anymore. It's the sky is falling. I think that extreme is irrational as well. I think that's somewhere in the middle. They have plenty of time to fix their problems. It is a major concern, the way this team is playing. But I don't see a team that has quit on the coaching staff. I don't see any reason to start having those discussions. I believe Adam Vingan asked Peter Laviolette about pressure from the organization yesterday, and he said, I'm feeling no pressure at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think he should. So I think we have a tendency to, I know Jeremy Pruitt told us we could overreact Monday through Thursday, but it's Friday, so we're not supposed to overreact. So my advice to people is don't overreact.
Yeah, I mean, it's because when the game started, obviously, Bonino had the quick goal, sort of quick goal, but we thought that, okay, this team is coming out and they're starting fast. This is what we've been wondering and asking the question, how do you start fast? And that's what all sports, when a team is struggling. But they started off fast. And then, you know, they started doing things that hurt themselves. I don't think it was anything necessarily that Vancouver was doing. It was what the Preds were not doing in regards to putting themselves in a penalty box, being undisciplined, things like that, hurting yourself, penalties you shouldn't be getting, lack of hustle penalties. When you have slashing and grabbing, that's a lack of hustle. You're trying to look for the easy way out. Well, it puts you in a position where now you're at a disadvantage. And again, I heard Willie, and I'm listening to Willie and C-Mace, who does a wonderful job at the play-by-play, they are saying, well, the deflection here and the deflection there. And they were absolutely right. But that doesn't happen if you don't put yourself in that position. You know, again, like I said earlier, I couldn't care less if the puck went off of somebody's popcorn container in the stands and then went in.
That'd be a strong popcorn container.
It would be.
Are they making them out of, like, steel?
Possibly. But the facts remain is that if you are not a man down, it doesn't happen. Yeah. You know, so, yeah, you can say they were lucky goals. We can go around a court. You know, we can go in circles with that. But if you don't put yourself in that position, then it doesn't happen.
I mean, just take 2 of them off the board. Take 2. Just say, hey, 2 of them were totally unlucky and they're off the board. And we'll use the bounce excuse because, again, 4 of them did go in off deflections. The problem is that Vancouver had dudes in front of your goaltender. They were in your kitchen all night.
Exactly.
And you haven't been in an opposing team's kitchen all season. Like, there was one of those deflections on the power play. I think it was either the first or the second one, where they had 2 guys screening Pekka. They had 2 dudes standing in the way. The puck had to go through 2 screeners. How do you expect Pekka to make that play? That's the defense's responsibility.
Now,
and in the meantime, Nashville has no one that will go stay. Like, I know Arvidsson will go do it, and he'll do his jump screens, and I get that. But right now, by and large, this team isn't tough enough to go stand in the crease. And that raises another question about last night that I think is an issue that we need to address moving forward. This team is going to get pushed around if they don't stand up for themselves at some point.
You're absolutely right.
Winnipeg played him physically. Vancouver, they just literally punched Philip Forsberg in the face yesterday and didn't even care.
Nope.
Didn't care about the results. And you have to eventually stand up for yourself. And so I think this team, they are a tough group of guys. I don't think they're soft, but they are an offensive finesse team right now that needs to change that narrative.
Is it an indictment, or does it say a lot about this team that they pull Pecorino?
No.
Because you could say, yes, some of it was their fault,
yeah,
the guys in front of them. But then there was a soft goal that Pekka gave up, too.
Yes, and listen, I think the way he played against in Colorado getting pulled, and those, like when the snowball starts, getting pulled is there's some nuance to studying when a goaltender gets pulled. Like, clearly, he wasn't getting any help. He wasn't getting any lucky bounces yesterday. So you get him out of there after two periods, and UC Saros comes in and plays relatively well in the third period. And they get a goal late to make it look closer than it really was. It really was 5-2, basically, for was kind of the score of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Empty netter to make it 6, and sort of a goal late for the Preds to make it 3. But it essentially was 5-2. And, you know, sometimes it's the goaltender's fault, and he gives up too many easy goals early and needs to get pulled because he's not playing well. Sometimes you're just sort of saving him from the situation a little bit. And I think last night was a little bit more of saving him from the situation. But you cannot argue the facts, which is the same thing we talk about with Pekka in the postseason, which is, I don't care how you get there. If you've been pulled this many times, something's not working right. And he's been pulled, what, 3 times now in the last few games? Again, we all expect Pekka to regress to the mean and get better and be back to the way he is. I don't think anyone expects him to be this bad all season. It's just one of those times in hockey. It's November. There's no reason to panic. I think we are weeks away from panicking. I think if they are still in last place or second to last place, and they still have all these glaring issues, and they're getting pushed around physically and all this other stuff, and we're talking about this around the new year, when we head to the Winter Classic to play Dallas, that's when I think you can start to say there are major concerns about the direction of this team right now. But I still think we're a ways away from that. I don't see a team that has quit on its coach. I don't see a team that's not playing with effort. I don't think any of those things. When you start seeing a team just play with no effort, they clearly doesn't look like they're buying into what the coach is selling them, and all of a sudden they're getting crushed every night, then I think we can start to talk about that. But I don't think we're even close to that yet.
I think there has to pop. I want to, you know, believe what you're saying. I really do.
Just believe. Just blindly take what I'm saying and believe it.
Yesterday, they played with some. They were enthused. They came out and they played physical. And I think they played hard yesterday.
5-on-5, they were fine.
Yeah, I think they played hard yesterday. But I'm being a pessimist right now. And I don't know if it's going to change. I think they're going to have to make some type of trade in order for this to change. I don't think if they keep it status quo, everything is going to just, you know, do a 180 and things just change.
Kyle Turris, healthy scratch again last night. Matthew Olivier and Steven Santini were both in. Again, physicality. Those two guys bring bigger, heavier hockey style. I mean, Craig Smith was playing with a little bit more urgency last night, but then he took one of the dumbest penalties I've ever seen. He's not having a great start. Mikael Granlund was actually pretty good last night. He's starting to come back to life a little bit. But we know the three guys, and maybe you throw – I would, at the beginning of the season, put Nick Bonino into this category, but he's playing so well that you can't put him in that category. The guys that you would move to acquire either a veteran defense piece to maybe give Dante Fabbro a break or, you know, some physicality on the fourth line or whatever would be Craig Smith, Mikael Granlund, and Kyle Turris. Those would be the three guys that you're looking at because they have big salaries. Two of them are expiring. Mm-hmm. Kyle Turris is the one. I mean, at this point, he's not even helping your team.
No.
At this point. So he was.
For whatever reason, because he started off pretty good.
He got off to a good start, and now three straight healthy scratches. So not a good situation for Kyle Turris. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll ask all these questions and more with Crispy, our main man, Terrence Arthur Crisp, right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Terrence Arthur Crisp joining us here. Crispy brought to you, of course, by the Hylent Group. Crispy, welcome to the show. Obviously, the penalty kill last night was not at its best form. I don't know what you make of this. I know there were a lot of deflections, and people who are going to apologize for the Predators are going to say, man, it was a lot of bad breaks last night. But at some point, you have to take responsibility for being in the penalty box, right?
Yes. Yeah, and you know what, guys? I got up this morning, I was having my coffee, and I said to Sheila, I said, you know what? I look out the window, I said, never rains, but it pours. And that's exactly what we got going here right now. The guys, every coach, every team has been through these stretches, and right now we're on one that just – but last night was – we're sitting at the desk, Lindsay and I, looking at this, and we looked at each other saying, they're playing hard. The guys are coming out. And I know we're getting – everybody gets tired of saying that. We worked hard. We tried hard. The coaches say, you know, moral victories are not what we need now. We need points. And we're all on the same page on that. But last night I got to give you a fact that if, just even putting my coaching hat on – standing behind the bench, you feel so helpless because, first off, like you mentioned, we took some bad penalties. And that was one of the key factors that we talked about before the game on our show, and Mason did also. Stay out of the penalty box. We learned the last time up in Vancouver, but obviously we didn't. We took them. But even having said that, I mean, you go over the goals they scored, and you all seen them. I mean, the first one goes off the Ekholm stick. The second one that Gravik scored, he didn't even see it coming, just hit his stick and deflected. Peck had no chance on either one of those ones. One went off of Arby's stick that Peck never even saw coming when it twisted off of Arby's stick. The Besser one was where Hamu skate. The puck was bouncing crazy all over the place. Another one, and you go on down the line. So it's not like we got steamrolled, but we got killed on the power play. And the last, I don't know, maybe 11 minutes, we took it to them. But I'm sitting there thinking, the last 11 minutes that we put out in that game, why can't we do that for a full 60 minutes like we used to?
Yeah, you're right. Because I think, you know, coming into the game, everyone was trying to figure out, even we talked about it yesterday on Crispy, how will this team come out? Will this team come out with a sense of urgency? And I think they did. The Bonino goal, they seemed like they were playing faster. But it seemed like, you know, even with all of that, you put yourself in a position, you know, five times where you were at a disadvantage, and you can't play that way. You got to play disciplined hockey. When you don't play disciplined hockey, then you end up being in a position where you're a man down. Is there anything that they can do? Because we can't go to they wasn't playing hard, because they did play hard. Pekka got pulled, but a lot of it wasn't his fault. Is there anything they can do moving forward, short of possibly, you know, making a trade and getting sort of more physical and bigger? Is there anything they can do to kind of turn this thing around?
I think the one thing, if I'm looking at it, I love the call-up of Olivier. Santini's playing steady back there. They brought in two new bodies, those two guys. I just think right now, and I look at it and as a coach and a player, your big cannons, and I'm not picking on anybody, but your big cannons. And when you look around at the guys like that Pettersson, how he's playing, Horvat, Besser, they were the three guys we picked out to watch last night making this team run. And all of those three were in on almost all of the goals that they scored. I think right now we have to look to our cannons. And I'm not going to sit here and say who are. You can decide who your top six are, who we think our cannons are on this team. And to some people, it's evident. To some, they got to start firing. Our cannons have got to step up and look at each other and say, guys, that's why we're here. That's why we've got good contracts. David Poile showed confidence, and the coaches have. We got to start to get it done. It's our job as the cannons to start firing.
Well, and that's what makes last night even tougher to deal with, because the tic-tac-toe from Arvidsson to Josi across the ice to Johansson for the first goal was so pretty. And that is those are the big cannons getting the job done to get you out to a 1-0 lead. You just take a bunch of dumb penalties. Terry Crisp joining us here on Morning Drive. And let me ask you about an angle yesterday. And again, I don't think the punch to the face to Forsberg is like the entire issue, but I think it's indicative of an issue. Winnipeg wasn't scared to come in and be physical. you know, Vancouver clearly not scared to – they're not scared of the retaliation. I realize that guys came to Forsberg's defense and there were some scrums last night and people are – they're getting into these little skirmishes and everything. But I don't think teams are physically afraid of the Nashville Predators. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. If you're coaching and you come in here, you look over the lineup and you say, okay, guys, who out there is big enough is going to do any damage to us? We go to the front of the net. Which one of those guys are going to take us and really mangle us, really make us hurt for being there? Or who's going to get to the net? And it's sort of like a lot of times our guys, our team, trying to get to the front of the other team's net, it's like the little ant rolling the bowling ball up a hill. It's just as tough to do. It's not going to happen. It's not there. So, yeah, I think that we have to get – but you know what I always say when as a player or as a coach that – toughness is not necessarily dropping the gloves, but remember, I would take you back to Patrick Hornqvist, a player here who I love. And he got beat up every night, but he went to the front of the net and he got, I don't know how many goals off his derriere, off his shoulder. Bonino does it now. You watch Bonino. That's what the rest of the guys got to buy into. Yeah, maybe you're not as big, but you can sure be as tough and as determined as the other team and let them know you're there and wear them down. We got to get back to that. We can't just keep hit and run. You got to go to the front of that. We have a guy visiting here, Vladimir Orzog. He played from 2001 to 2004 here. We called him the Slovakian Tank, and I said to him the other night, would you like to dress for a couple of games and show us how to go to the front of the net like Hornqvist used to and whatnot? This is a whole team thing. It's not just one or two guys. You can't just say Watson is in charge of it or Olivier. Everybody that goes over those boards has to know he's going to pay a price in front of their net. Or the other team's going to pay a price in front of our net.
Well, yeah, it's like rebounding, man. It's a want to. You got to know. You got to get in there and scrum. And if you want the rebound, you got to fight for it. If you want to get in front of the net, you got to put yourself in that position, whether you're used to it or not. One guy that I'm a little bit puzzled by, because he started off so well, Turris, we were kind of wondering what his season would look like based upon last season, and he started off pretty good, but he's been a healthy scratch the last two games. What do you make of that?
You know, as coaches, everything you do is for the betterment of the team. You hope. Mm-hmm. You hope you're making the right decisions. That's why you're hired, and that's why we do those certain things. And in the coach's mind, Turris to me is a bit of an enigma. I don't know if you know maybe what that word means, but trying to figure him out. You know he's got skill. And when you talk to him, I like the – he's such a good person and a nice person. And having said that, I'm looking on the ice saying, you know, he's got skill. Where does it best fit in this hockey club? And that's, I think, right now what we're trying to figure out with Turris is where can he be utilized most? But you're going to say, well, he sure isn't going to be utilized sitting on the bench. I understand that, and everybody does. And coaches don't do those things to be mean. Coaches don't do those things to lose hockey games. They do them because they think they have to shake something up and somebody has to sit out. Right now it's Turris, and who knows? The coaching staff might turn around the next few games. Turris is back in, and somebody else has that role.
Terrence, Arthur, Chris Crispy joining us here on Morning Drive. And last one for me, obviously, was with a back-to-back against St. Louis coming up, one of the better teams, the Stanley Cup champs. I'm tired of hearing people use the St. Louis Blues like – that's like a one-liner that everyone uses now to just describe everyone. Like, hey, well, look what the Blues did. Oh, well, we can do this. Look what the Blues did. Like, no, that's an anomaly. That's not how you win Stanley Cups. That's a rarity. You can't use the Blues as an example. So my question to you is, as we've seen the last 2 years, this team had a major issue, whether it was too many penalties 2 years ago or the power play last year. This year it seems like it's a little bit more on the defensive side of things in general. When is the point for you of a hockey season where it's no longer just you're working through something, it's just who you are? Is it February? Is it the new year? Like, where is it for you where you go, all right, it's no longer just a thing you're working through, it's just a problem?
And you know what? I like your what you just said right there, that statement. I've been sitting here mulling over that one. When you look at the other teams, what they did in the offseason, how they all improved, which we knew they did, we all looked at them, and you look at your hockey club, and if what we're saying is right, and I said last night, our guys worked. They worked their hearts out, took some dumb penalties, which we shouldn't have taken. They made us pay for those penalties with a lot of fluky goals. I'm not going to call them fluky because they were. But sometimes you have to step back and say, is this as good as our team is? Is this what we are right now? Is this the level we're at, even when we're playing our best? Or can we move it up a few notches? And in my estimation, I know and I feel in my gut, we can move it up a few notches.
Crispy, always a pleasure, man. They better move it up a few notches this weekend because they got two with St. Louis on Saturday and Monday, and they're not going to be easy. So
that's the tonic the doctor ordered. You know, Paul, yep. Well, you go out there and play or you're going to get your butt kicked all over. So get out and play.
That and your buddy Jack as well. All right, Crispy. Thanks, man.
And my buddy with coffee. Hey, guys, have a great day. Stay dry.
Yeah, you too. Terrence Arthur Crisp there, of course, brought to you by the Highland Group. When we return, we stick to sports. And Munson.
Munt
takes center stage.
Absolutely.
I should probably do Keister.
No, Munson.
I think Keister works better. How about we let him decide, Derek? Or should we control his life?
No, we control.
Yeah, just
control
controlled my life this week already by having me ask that question about.
That's true. We did.
Yeah, so we got to control his life
about mom sending nude pictures.
I was going to repeat the question. Oh, okay. So I was going to let you do that.
Mom sending nude. I'll repeat it.
You know what? If you missed that question, what day was that? Tuesday? Wednesday?
You can go on Apple or Spotify.
Here you go, then. Here's the piece of paper. Go ahead,
absolutely.
Read it.
Absolutely. Oh, I get to read it.
Yeah.
If you missed any of the show, we have moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio. So if you want to hear that question on Stick to Sports, can go check Apple or Spotify. Review, rate, subscribe today. Stick to sports when we come back.
Ohio State. Coverage at 11.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
In the Game Nashville app. This is Morning Drive.
It's Stick to Sports and it's a Friday. That means you better feel the heat with somebody.
Absolutely.
Let me hear you sing, Derek.
I want to dance with somebody. Who want to dance with me? I want to feel the heat with somebody.
Well, there's only two of us in here.
I'm saying
I do not want to feel the heat with you.
The opposite.
Hey, whatever you're into, man.
I'm talking about women. Woman.
Whatever,
who want to dance with me?
Whatever you're into.
Which one want to dance with me?
I don't judge.
Call in.
We don't judge on Morning Drive.
Call in. Leave a message with Marquise.
Stop. This is not a dating app. This is a radio show.
All right. Leave a message to Marquise, okay?
I hope it ends up like the end of Friday when Smokey finally met Janet Jackson?
my like Freddie Jackson.
She got out of the car. Oh man.
Ooh, what's up?
All right, let's hit it.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
All right, Stick to Sports is brought to you by Decorated Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den when you're ready. Single men. Men are just moving here to Nashville because there are a bunch of you moving here to Nashville every day.
So many dudes.
So if you don't have that significant other, and even if you do have that significant other, and you guys just need another helping hand or a set of eyes, then go check out Bonnie at Decorated Den Interior.
Or helping eyes and a set of hands.
Absolutely.
Either way.
Because she can help you with your home, your office, or that little outdoor space in the backyard. So request a complimentary appointment, and I urge you men, please go see her. Or women, if you don't want to deal with it, go see her. She's wonderful. Go up, make an appointment online at decorateddin.com.
Number one.
All right, fellas. So as you can tell, the phone rung, so I have to put the X's on them, you know. D-Mace was playing. Don't call up here.
I wasn't playing.
All right, so as you can tell from me not wearing a hat, I got a haircut yesterday. You know, I got to get the fresh fade for the weekend. Thanksgiving's coming up, you know.
So I can always tell then when you're wearing a hat that it means it's time for a haircut?
No, because I always wear hats anyway. It's just today I forgot to wear one. So, you know, I rocked the fade, rocked the nice fade.
I got you.
So when I went to the barbershop yesterday, and I think a lot of the best discussions come from barbershops.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Barbershop conversation is awesome.
We all agree.
And we were watching the news because the news was on. And
anything happening in this country right now?
Not that I can talk about on this program.
Okay.
So we were watching the news, and I think it had something to do with it. I don't want to repeat the news story, but I'll repeat the conversation that we had. And he told me a story about how he heard a story like on the news about how two kids got kept at home by themselves because their parents went out to go to the club, and then they started a fire at the house.
Oh, wow.
And so the family, the girl, the, I guess the moms came back home, and yeah, their house is set on fire.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, yeah, man, I don't know why people just leave their kids at home like that. And it got me thinking because
Do people do that?
Yeah, I was thinking, I was 8, 9 years old, staying at my house like by myself. Because my mom was like just bad mother and just left me at home.
Well, no, she's working.
But she was working. My mom worked 2 to 11, 11 to 6, or another shift. I think 6 to 2. So she could never, like, you know, always be at home by myself. So that raised the question. We start having this discussion on what is the proper age to start allowing kids to stay at home by themselves?
Derek, please enlighten me.
Well, I would say... It all depends.
A 10-year-old is not out of the question.
No,
they can handle themselves at home.
Once you figured out, okay, your kid can handle himself or herself at home, you know your kid well, and if you're going to be gone for, say, an hour, you got to run out to the grocery store and pick up a few things. I think 11, 12, around there, yes, it's fine. I mean, you know, you explain to the kid, hey, listen, you know, I'll be gone for a quick minute. If you need anything, call me. Don't turn on the stove. You got all these things set in place. I think, you know, 11, 12, 13, I don't see anything wrong with that. And then if you have a sibling, you know, it's okay. You know, if the sibling's 13 and you know, the younger one's maybe 10, then, you know, you can, if you're going to be gone for a short period of time. It's like, not like leave for like 4 hours, 5 hours.
So,
you know,
I think it totally depends on the kid, obviously.
Yeah.
Like me at 10 years old, no, probably not allowed. Like my daughters will probably be far better behaved and more mature than I ever was at that age. So they probably can handle it a lot earlier. I also think it depends on how young the sibling is. So if you got, you know, mine are only 18 months apart. So if my oldest is 10, my youngest will be 8 and a half, and I could just see them riling each other up and getting in trouble. But once the oldest gets to 11 and 12, the other one's also 10. Like, they both are almost self-sufficient by themselves at that point. I don't think 9 is that crazy. I just think it depends on how mature the 9-year-old is.
Kid, it depends on your
kid. Is there another 6-year-old in the house? Like, you don't want a 9 and
a 6-year-old.
Well,
see, my mom had to test this theory because one day my brother, he had left me by myself. I was like 7. I was 7 years old. Just left me at the house. And remember, my brother's 8 years older than me, so he was, you know, in his teens. So he was just running off doing teen stuff. So,
like leaving a 7-year-old at the house.
Yeah, like leaving a 7-year-old at the house. And my mom acts like she came back home early and she saw me by myself. I was just sitting on the couch watching wrestling. I was just chilling, just watching wrestling. And she was like, you just stayed here the whole entire time. I was like, yeah. It's like I ate a Lunchable out of the refrigerator. But, like, yeah, I stayed here. I basically stayed here by myself.
I got that Snickers fun size for sure.
I did. But, and then when my brother came home, obviously he got in huge trouble because he left me there. Uh-huh. But my mom started to realize that I can maybe keep him at home by himself if needed. Uh-huh. And so it wasn't like my mom just kept me at home just to be, you know, mother. You know, my mom was a single mother, had to work. So she had to do what she had to do. But I just like that. I think that's where my fascination for Hot Pockets came from, because that's all I could eat, because like it was never turned on the stove.
Yeah.
Always use the microwave, because I mean, if you burn something in the microwave, you're just
something's wrong with you.
Yeah, something's wrong with you. So I was left at home at like 8, 9 years old.
Don't put metal in the microwave.
Yeah, don't put metal in the microwave.
True story.
You did it?
No. I've never done that.
Okay.
Come on. You know me long
just
enough.
Just to mess around?
I don't do that kind
just
of dumb.
Just to see what would happen.
I may be dumb,
when
but I'm not. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. True story. At my old office, there was a 26-year-old who worked there who had a Yeti, like a really nice, you know, Yeti cup. And I was in the kitchen, and this young woman, who I'm not going to say her name, she put her entire Yeti, filled up with coffee, into the microwave.
No.
And I stopped and I looked at her in the kitchen. I go, we'll call her Jennifer. Okay. Uh-huh. I was like, Jennifer, did you just put your Yeti cup that's made of metal into the microwave? And she's like, yeah, it's a Yeti.
Oh,
and I go, so you think it's okay to put it in the microwave because it's a Yeti?
Uh-huh.
She goes, yeah. What do you mean?
It's metal.
You don't put metal in the microwave. So she immediately stops and pulls it out. And I just was like, seriously, like, you didn't think about this? That, like, it's just like a fork. or like goodness. Anything. I could not believe it. And I just thought, what's happening to the youth of America?
And obviously my mom laid down the rules before ever let me, you know.
Dude, you don't have to defend your mom anymore. We know your mom was a great mom. It's cool.
No, I know that. I know that. But I'm just saying. But that's what I'm basically, because there may be people that thinks like, you know, there's levels. I trust my kid enough to leave them at home by themselves. So I'm using my example as ways to for other parents to kind of figure out.
We have a freshman in high school that's a really good. She's a daughter of a really good friend of ours, and she watches our kids, and she'll put them down. She can put two kids under three to bed.
Oh wow!
And she's like 14 years old.
Oh.
And she's completely comfortable with it.
She's a miracle worker.
So we have no problem with her being by herself with our daughters, not only when they're sleeping, but like putting them to sleep, which is the hard part, right?
Oh, wow.
When they're 18 months old and 3 years old. My wife was babysitting kids when she was 13 by herself.
Girls can do that for some reason.
They're more mature than guys at that age.
My brother babysitting, he's the worst babysitter in the world.
Well, he wasn't really even trying.
Yeah, he wasn't. He would basically, you know how when you babysit, you gotta kind of, okay, so this kid likes to watch SpongeBob, so I'm gonna turn on SpongeBob so the kid can just go over there, watch SpongeBob, and be quiet.
Also from 2 to 6 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Just
SpongeBob and Mr. Krabs. 2 to 6.
Absolutely. So, but instead of doing that, my brother would just do what he wanted to do. With me. It was like whatever I wanted to do featuring Marquise, my little brother.
You were the
undercard.
Tell
you how immature and how just dumb we can be as boys.
Oh, God, we're all idiots.
My parents had left and went to my grandparents' house because they had to drop off my younger brother and sister. And so I had to it was me and she's the oldest girl, but she's younger than me. So they told me to stay home with her. Don't do anything, just stay home with her. And I've done this plenty of times. Okay, cool. But beknownst to them, you know, there were firecrackers in the house.
Oh, God. Oh, I think you told this story.
It was close to the 4th of July. So me being the smart one.
You're the responsible one.
The responsible one, in quotation marks, air quotes. Mm-hmm. I decided, hey, sis, let's try out, you know, putting a spinner thing, firecracker, on your shoe.
How old was your sister at the time?
She was maybe 7. And I was 10, 11.
There's no way she keeps her mouth shut. There's no way she...
No. My sister is ride or die. I put a firecracker sprinter on her shoe. It burned through her plastic shoe because she had the plastic little jellies. It burned through that and burned her foot. Second-degree burn. You know what my sister did?
Way to go, big brother.
She did not tell my parents. But she eventually, my parents, like when they got home, they saw it.
Yeah, they
After
know.
A while, they saw it and they said, what happened? And she eventually had to tell.
Of course she did.
And boy, oh boy, you talk about a beating. Oh, my dad put it to me. Oh my goodness.
I mean, you deserved
Once they
it.
Got home.
You deserved it.
From taking her to the hospital, that was the longest wait I've ever had.
But see, and yeah.
Oh, you knew it was coming,
I knew it was. They told me it was coming.
That's the worst one when you know it's coming,
I got beat.
When you know, that's the worst one.
I'd come home, and you know, I'd be in elementary school, and I'd done something wrong or whatever, and Mom would be like, just wait till your dad gets home.
That's the worst.
You're going to the boiler room. That's my worst. Mine was the boiler room.
You pull in the driveway.
I had to go to the boiler room. That's where the punishment was doled out.
I think my butt still hurts. Man. I got a whooping so bad, man.
Was it a switch?
Why don't you
yes,
take,
it was a damn switch.
Why don't, did you have to pick it out? They make you pick
it out? No, he picked it out.
Ooh, that's bad. That's bad. Normally they let you pick it out. When they pick it out, that's bad. All right, we got to take a break here. Tennessee Volunteers, Titans, all on the field. Big football action coming up this weekend. We'll get to that right here on Morning Drive.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.